Well, hallelujah. He lives. Amen. You might have seen in your bulletins that that's the title that I chose to give for our message here today. Hallelujah, He lives. I don't think I've ever used the word hallelujah in a sermon title before. But of course, that title, He Lives, is a reference to our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And I am so thankful that Jesus loved me enough to endure the cross on my behalf. And I am equally thankful that on that third day, God rolled away the stone which covered that tomb, and our Savior walked right out of that grave alive forevermore. So I will say it once again, hallelujah, He lives. And that word hallelujah, most of you are familiar with it, probably grew up hearing it in church. It's in the scripture. It's in some of the songs that we sing. But it is a Hebrew word that means literally praise unto God. Praise be unto God. So as we sing hallelujah this morning, and as we speak the word hallelujah, we are declaring our praise unto God. And our God is indeed worthy of our praise today and always. For our scripture focus today, I'm going to read from the book of Acts. That may not surprise most of you all. If you are visiting with us today, you might not be aware that we've been studying in the book of Acts for the last several months. In fact, our focus scripture since early January has come from Acts. And here we are once again. Now, I am going to backtrack just a little. We've been working our way through the chapters in Acts pretty much in sequential order. And last Sunday, we were in Acts chapter 8. And we may go back to that next Sunday morning. That is my tentative plan, at least right now. I say tentative because sometimes the Lord will lead me in a different direction than I am anticipating. And I always want to be obedient to how He leads. But you know, even a few weeks ago, a particular verse grabbed my attention in Acts chapter 4. And that's the verse that I decided to use for our focus today. Now, we'll do our initial scripture reading just a little different today. Very often I will have you stand as we read the initial passage. And typically, it's more than just one verse. Although, we may start with one verse today, but of course, that will not be the only verse that we will read this morning. But let me share from Acts chapter 4 and verse 33, one of my new favorite verses. Listen to these words, Acts 4:33. It says, "And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all." Amen. I'm going to read it one more time. "And with great power," it says, "the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all." And as I said, we've been studying about the early church. And we know that the apostles were the original disciples of Jesus Christ. And they are now the key leaders in the New Testament church, as we have seen how more and more people are coming to believe in Jesus Christ through the testimony of these men. And what is that testimony that they proclaimed? It tells us right here in the verse, they gave testimony to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They proclaimed the message of salvation, telling of how Jesus came to this earth, born as a human child, and then growing to become a man as He taught, healed, and ministered unto people in need everywhere that He went. Yes, Jesus ministered unto those in need. But you know, the biggest need of any person is the need of redemption from sin. And to provide that atonement, Jesus submitted unto a brutal crucifixion where he was violently abused and killed. Yes, he physically died. Jesus experienced the death of his human body. And the apostles continued to share this story. But death was not the end of that story. The death of Jesus Christ on this earth was not the final chapter. And those who saw his resurrection firsthand, they continued to testify of such. Now think about that word for a moment, testify. And those who know me well, you know that I am a word nerd. So I like to evaluate the meaning of words. To testify means to share personal knowledge of something, giving validity to its truth. What I mean is you often hear that word testify as it relates to being a witness in court. If someone is called upon to testify, they are being asked to give the account of what they personally witnessed, thus providing that testimony as evidence. And that is exactly what the apostles of Jesus Christ continued to do. And we see that theme repeated over and over here in the book of Acts. And I said we would look at more verses in Acts today, more than just Acts 4:33. So let's look at a few other verses in this same book of Scripture. Now, some of these verses were part of our Scripture reading in previous weeks. But I just want us to see today how this theme of the resurrection was so prevalent among the early church. And I will just give y'all a heads up right now. I'm going to be referencing numerous verses here for just a few moments. I know some of you like to turn with me as I read the various scriptures. That's fine, but you might just want to listen this time because you're going to be turning pages kind of fast, okay? We'll get through this. But even beginning in Acts chapter 1, before Jesus ascends to heaven, we read this in Acts chapter 1 in verse 3. It says, to these apostles, Jesus also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Let's keep reading. Acts chapter 1, verse 22. You may remember this sermon. This is when they were selecting the replacement disciple for Judas Iscariot. And Peter was talking, he said, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that Jesus was taken up from us, one of these must be a witness with us of his resurrection. Acts chapter 2, verse 24, it reads, but God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in death's power. Same chapter, Acts 2. Let me read 31 and 32. Talking about the Old Testament prophecy. It says, David looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. It says, this Jesus God raised up again. And then they add, to which we are all witnesses. We're going to hear that several times. Then in Acts chapter 3, verse 15, Peter says, Acts 3:15, but you put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses. Same chapter, verse 26, says, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, send him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. And of course, the part I wanted to focus on there was it said, God having raised up his servant Jesus. That was from Acts 3. But the next chapter, Acts chapter 4, we already read verse 33. Let me read verse 10 of Acts 4. It says, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. Amen. Let's read now from Acts chapter 5. I think we've covered 1, 2, 3, and 4 so far. Acts chapter 5, verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on a cross. I'll go ahead and add verse 31. Peter said, he is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior to grant repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. And then Peter adds in verse 32, and we are witnesses of these things. I love how Peter and the other apostles, they keep declaring to anyone who will listen, Jesus Christ was crucified for sins, but he was then resurrected. And he adds, we know so because we saw it. We are witnesses to this. Let's dig a little deeper, the book of Acts. I know we're reading a lot of verses from Acts this morning, but since we've been studying the book of Acts on Sundays, I felt compelled to draw attention to the many verses here which speak of the resurrection. Now, some of these are in later chapters that we've not covered yet. These next verses are from Acts chapter 10. Now, this is when Peter was sharing the gospel with Cornelius and other Gentiles. But Acts 10, let me read 39 through 41. He says, he's telling the story. He says, we are witnesses of all the things Jesus did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And then he says, they also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. The very next words say, God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. If you don't mind, let me add just a few more verses, this time from Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, 29 through 31 says, when they had carried out all that was written concerning Jesus, they took him down from the cross and laid him in a tomb. The very next words say, but God raised him from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, the very ones who were now his witnesses to the people. Then a few chapters later, in Acts 17, verse 18, we read that Paul was preaching Jesus and the resurrection. I texted a few of my buddies this morning who were pastors, and I said, praying for you as you preach Jesus this morning. And you know, I didn't start it. Somebody else texted me before I started that thing going on. But I love how it says Paul was preaching Jesus. Paul was preaching the resurrection. In that same chapter of Acts 17, verses 30 and 31, it says, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to all men that people everywhere should repent. It says, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Again, that was Acts 17, verses 30 and 31. And then, let me do one or two more here. Just a few chapters later, in Acts chapter 26, Paul is speaking once again, and Paul says, verses 22 and 23, of Acts 26, Paul says, so having obtained help from God, oh, I like that. Having obtained help from God, I stand to this day testifying both to small and great, stating nothing but what the prophets and Moses said was going to take place, that the Christ was to suffer, and that by reason of his resurrection from the dead, he would be the first to proclaim light both to the Jewish people and unto the Gentiles. Okay, now I know I read a lot of verses there from Acts. And that's not even all of the verses I found in Acts. I skipped a few. And there's probably even more in Acts that I'm not even aware of. But I chose to read these verses from Acts, not just because we've been studying in this book, but one particular thing that I wanted to put emphasis on this morning is how the apostles and other followers of Jesus Christ, they continued to give testimony to the resurrection. And we see it in chapter after chapter and in verse after verse. You remember a few Sundays back how Peter said in Acts 4:20, he said, "For we cannot stop talking about the things that we've seen and heard." And it's just like the verse we started with today, Acts 4:33, which says, "And with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." Giving testimony to. That means they were speaking of the resurrection as they shared the wonderful message of salvation in Jesus. And what a great reminder that is unto us. Now, we could have read the resurrection story from the Gospels today. The story of Jesus rising from the dead is told in all four of the Gospels. It's in Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24, and John chapters 20 and 21. And most Easter Sundays, that is typically where we draw our scripture from. But again, today I wanted to read the verses from Acts because the verses in Acts show the priority of sharing the resurrection story with others. And that is something that I hope and pray we are all doing in our day-to-day lives. I've heard it said before that all preachers love to preach on Easter Sunday. Well, that is true because we get to proclaim the wonderful news of the resurrection of our Savior. Then again, we can preach that every Sunday, amen? We don't have to wait for a special occasion to proclaim that our Savior lives. And I will admit to you all that for me personally, one reluctancy, is that a word? I think it is. I'm a word nerd. I'm going to go home and look it up later. But one reluctancy that I have sometimes toward preaching on Easter Sunday is I don't think I could really ever find adequate words to properly express the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus Christ following his crucifixion is such a wonderful and marvelous occurrence. I'm not sure there are appropriate words in our language to emphasize it. And as a preacher, that does mildly concern me. However, there are some verses that give me assurance, and I want to share some of those. Let me read some of Paul's words from 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. And I try to think of these verses when I just can't find the right words. Paul said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And then he says, "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Ooh, I like that. You see, Paul wasn't concerned about finding the most adequate words. Maybe I need to take a lesson from that. And I may not feel that my words amount to much, but the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ always amounts to much. You know, since I'm just confessing things to you all this morning, I'll say something else that frequently crosses my mind is that sometimes our messages each Sunday, parts of them may sound similar. especially when toward the end we almost always mention the aspect of salvation through what Jesus did for us. Well, in that passage we just read, remember how Paul said, "For I determine not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul made sure that the cross of Jesus Christ was a primary point in his preaching. Let me share a few more verses from that same book of 1 Corinthians. I know I've kind of shifted from Acts over to 1 Corinthians. But in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, these are also words of Paul. Paul said, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." But he says in verse 3, 1 Corinthians 15, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Notice that Paul preached not only the cross, but the resurrection as well. In fact, Paul clearly spoke of the significance of the resurrection. In the same chapter we just read from, 1 Corinthians 15, let me highlight just a couple of other verses from 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 14, Paul said, "And if," that's a hypothetical by the way, "if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is empty also." A couple of verses later, in verse 17, he says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you're still in your sins." Wow. Okay, Paul sets the record straight regarding the importance of the resurrection. Now, he was saying "if" is a hypothetical, but just a couple of verses down, he clarifies the resurrection is a fact in verse 20. He says, "But now Christ has been raised from the dead." There was no if about it. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 20. "But now Christ has been raised from the dead." And let me remind you all that Paul, just like the other apostles, he was a witness to the resurrected Christ. Remember that? On the Damascus Road? It was under different circumstances. But in Acts chapter 9, Paul encounters the resurrected Christ. And if we do keep going in the book of Acts, we just may cover this in a couple of weeks. That could be our sermon in 2 weeks. Y'all don't hold me to that. But Paul knew the resurrection was for real, and it changed his life. Has it changed your life? Going back to the verse we started with today, Acts 4:33. Remember how it said the apostles gave testimony to the resurrection. They gave testimony to it because it was so real to them. Is it real to you? I ask you today, is it real to you? And are you telling others about it? Or are you keeping it to yourselves? The apostles and the other Christians we read about in Acts, they were continually giving testimony to His resurrection. And as the redeemed of Christ, so should we also. And as we do wind down today, let me once again read Acts 4:33. That's our focus verse that we started with. "And with great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all." And we talked a lot about the first part of that verse, but what about the last part of the verse? That part that says abundant grace was upon them all. Is that true of you? What I'm asking is, have you experienced that grace? And I'm going to tell you, the only way to fully experience God's grace is through salvation in Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, verse 8, It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It goes on to say it is the gift of God, not of your own works, not of your own deeds, lest anyone should try to boast. You see, God's gift unto us was Jesus Christ. God gave Jesus to us so that the penalty for our sins would be paid. And you can experience that salvation by putting your faith and trust in Jesus, receiving Him as your Lord and Savior. That is how you become a recipient of that grace. And I ask you today, is that something that you have received? If you have never reached out to God, asking Him to forgive your sins, and asking Jesus to be the Lord of your life, I pray that today will be that day. On a day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me remind you, Jesus conquered sin. Jesus conquered death. And if you will place your faith and trust in Him, not only will you receive forgiveness for your sins, but you will also receive the promise of eternal life in heaven for your soul. That's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why He was subjected to such a cruel death. But hallelujah, praise God, that grave could not hold Him. And He did this for you. He did it for each of us. Salvation is yours for the asking. But I ask you, won't you put your faith and trust in Him today? Do you believe that Jesus Christ was God's Son? Do you believe that He came to this earth and He went to the cross for you? Do you believe that He arose from the dead on the third day? And are you ready to receive Him as your Savior and Lord? Are you ready to make that confession and tell others about it? I pray that you will. And maybe you're saved already. I hope all of us are. But are you telling others about it? Are you ready to go and tell them? Let's give testimony to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're about to have a time of invitation in just a moment. I'm going to close in prayer in just a minute. And we're going to sing one final song. And we call that song a song of response or a hymn of invitation because that is exactly what it is. We're giving you the opportunity. We are inviting you to come down and pray here at the front. If God is speaking to your heart, you need to pray on the steps of this altar. I know we've got some lilies kind of around, but we've got room. We've got room to pray here at the front row. You just want to come and stand, kneel, or sit. I'll be also down here at the front to pray with you if you'd like for me to do that. And listen, I want to especially talk to someone today who has never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I don't want you to worry about, well, I don't know what to say. You just say, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Will you pray with me? And I'll do it. I will lead you in a prayer of asking Jesus to come into your heart and life, to be your Lord and Savior. I hope you'll do that if you never have, or whatever prayer needs that you may have. Maybe someone has a lost family member who's never been saved, and you want to come and pray for them this morning. Whatever's on your heart. Let's all bow our heads, close our eyes, and we're going to have prayer, and then we'll have our time of invitation. Our God and our Father, I do thank You once again for this opportunity that You've given us to speak Jesus. Father, I thank You for the words of that beautiful song that were shared today. I speak Jesus. Father, thank You for giving me the privilege of speaking Jesus from this pulpit. Father, I pray that for each of us who know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we are speaking Jesus, not just in the words that we say as we go forth from this place, but Father, may our actions reflect those words as well. May we speak Jesus in our actions and our words. And Father, I also pray, if there is anyone here today that's never come to know Jesus, I pray they would recognize the urgency of that decision. And Father, that You would give them the courage and the wherewithal to step out today and to come down and pray to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life as they seek to follow after You. Be Your disciple. Thank You, Lord, for calling each of us unto repentance and to salvation. Father, we know that Jesus Christ himself said he came to seek and save those who were lost. And I pray that if there's any lost among us today, that they would respond. And it's in Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen.